Hi, everyone. Welcome back to TBI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here, mate.
My audio might be slightly different to normal because I'm in Brisbane in quarantine, and I'm on my phone, mate. First time, basically, the Wi-Fi in the hotel, shite. Do you know that internet in Australia is really rubbish? Do you know this?
How come they're so far away?
The connection's not very good. Everyone I know who's Australian always moans about their internet over here. Apparently, they haven't got like the really good fiber optic ones that Europe has or America. Ah. So they've just got quite an old version of like the internet.
The old so,
yeah.
So I wonder why they just didn't prioritize it, because they've got like nice weather and beaches.
Probably, yeah, they're all just too busy.
And running from giant spiders.
Getting eaten by sharks. So, yeah, I think that, you know, the Wi-Fi in the quarantine hotel is patchy, but we managed to work around it. So,
it wasn't too bad.
It was a really fun episode. It was actually, yeah, Paul Tomkinson we were joined by. Wanted to get him on for ages. He's a really funny man.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
Good guy, really funny, really good comedian. Also, like, he's one of them people that he's really funny when you're a new comic in a green room. I remember, like, I did my first ever Manchester Comedy Store weekend with him, like, you know, 10, 11
it's really
years
nice,
ago,
isn't he? When you're new, I was very new and I met him, and he's so encouraging and just
encouraging, but also, like, plays around with you, like, as a laugh with you, like, you're one of the gang. But I remember, like, it was like my first weekend, and no one wants to close the late show at the Comedy Store because like it's really late. Back in the old days, it was so late. Do you know what I mean? You're on stage at 2 a.m. And for some reason, they put me to close the late show. I think just because everyone else had other stuff, whatever, like doubles, where they just pulled rank and said they didn't want to. And the whole, like from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, kept saying to me, mate, honestly, I know, if it's your first time here, you've got the best spot of the weekend there. It's closing the late show. Basically, he was just winding me up for 3 days. I went on stage at 2 a.m. Everyone's asleep. It's shit.
you're in your head because you think you've got the best spot. I must be doing really bad.
It was really funny. Just kept going, mate, honestly. Best spot of the weekend. I just walk out to crap.
He's such a lovely guy, though. Like I had a bit of a bad review once in Edinburgh, and I came and he messaged me, and I was in Cardiff the weekend after Edinburgh, and he took me for a meal. He knew I was down. You know when you're down?
Yeah.
And he took me for a meal and stuff. It was such a nice thing to do. I'll always remember that, Paul.
But anyway, so yes, we have a nice fun chat with Paul about all sorts. So admin-wise, people can sign up to Patreon for extra bits. One extra bit that's happening this weekend, this Sunday, I'm going to be doing a preview of my Melbourne Comedy Festival show.
Only on Patreon.
Yes, only on Patreon. I need to basically run out.
I'm going to be heckling.
Julian's coming. He's going to sit there taking notes the whole time and just shaking his head.
I'm just confused watching, trying to put you off.
But basically, yeah, it's
kind of like a workshop. You're kind of asking for feedback. Is that the deal?
Well, yeah. So patrons,
no problem.
Obviously, at the end, I want feedback at the end.
Oh, sorry. Lucky you said that.
Putting their hand up.
That was shit. Next bit. Try the next bit now, Cole. That bit wasn't good.
So. On Patreon, it's at 11 a.m. this Sunday. What date's this Sunday? It's the 28th, is it?
Is that right? That's a good guess if that's true.
I think it might be.
I will look just to confirm.
It is the 28th. Sunday the 28th.
Okay. Sunday the 28th, 11 a.m. British Standard Time.
Yeah, because it'll be 9 o'clock Brisbane time where I am in quarantine.
AM.
But
oh no, PM.
Yeah, it's 2 hours ahead of us.
It's only down the road, mate. Just near Sheffield. Okay. So 11 a.m. British Standard Time, February the 28th on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So patreon.com/wearetbi. All the details will be there. That's it.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy the episode and enjoy your life, mate. We've got the roadmap out of this. We're gonna get there, people. The summer of 69 is coming again.
It's gonna be filthy.
It's gonna be Woodstock, mate.
That's gonna be mad.
It's gonna be nasty.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
We always clap twice because at the start of our podcast, we always clap twice.
Just to applaud yourself on, or
no, just to think the sound. Little tip.
Welcome back.
Hello, mate.
What is this?
Carl's just putting a bit of lip on.
I'm putting some lip balm on.
Good timing.
This has gone to pieces. Normally, it's a very professional setup. But I'm in a Brisbane quarantine hotel. The Wi-Fi has just decided to go shit. Why? So I'm on my phone.
My brother lives in Brisbane, mate. I've got a brother.
Really?
He's a psychotherapist out there.
Is he?
I've got a feeling you might be needing him quite shortly.
We got his Saturday morning. Right, start very early Saturday morning. Okay. It's now Thursday night here. So,
they've extended the quarantines in Australia now to 17 weeks, haven't they?
You just heard that today, isn't it?
They're not telling them yet.
Yeah, but all the Aussies are fine with it because we've got to squash the virus, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We're down with that. Why are you in Brisbane, Carl? What's happening? What's going on?
Well, no, we were meant to be coming over because my wife's from Melbourne.
All right,
and we had our baby in last summer, and her family were meant to be coming over, and then that couldn't happen. And then we were meant to be going over for Christmas, that couldn't happen. So everything kept getting pushed back and back. And then finally, I got given an exemption to get into Australia with her.
Fantastic.
And so we decided to come over, and then we got diverted to Brisbane because the day we were flying into Melbourne, they were in a, what was that? Somebody just been murdered in the background of your house.
Lives in quite a rough area, yeah. We're trying to ignore it.
It's my dog. Okay. It's Billie Jean. She's an absolute pain in the ass, and she's just seen something.
There's just a pit fight in the kitchen.
I might have to let her out into the garden. I can hold this. Wait, sorry about that.
I mean, I might have to walk her around the park.
just to annoy Carl, just to give him my freedom. Look, there she goes.
She's got to take her to Crufts.
Every morning, she...
It's a nice skylight you've got there.
Oh, no. I must give you the tour. No, every morning, we...
Not in the bathroom.
Every morning, the dog wakes us up and then walks to the end of the kitchen. I open the door, and she sprints and jumps off the like sort of patio thing and races to the corner of the garden. It's just like a really optimistic start to every. She does it with the same optimism every day, and there's never anything there. There's nothing there, but she does it every. It's just like a nice sort of metaphor for life generally. Total attack and then no result every day.
The result is the process, isn't it? Is the excitement?
The fun is the journey, is the jump. Yeah, the fun is the jump off, and her ears flap and she jumps off.
It's a zest for life, mate.
The absolute idiotic zest for life.
Happy people are so stupid, aren't they?
The only way we're going to get through this, isn't it? Just utter stupidity. I mean, that's
exactly.
They're the people who are going to get us out of this, aren't they? The people who are stupid enough to go out and go in small rooms all over each other. They're the ones who are going to give us a living again, aren't they?
Exactly. Get that herd immunity.
How are you finding immunity? Not immunity, quarantine, Carl. How's it going? I mean, because you've got that and jet lag, haven't you? You've got kind of both. Going.
Yeah, the jet lag sort of. I've been up since 4 a.m. But it's, to be honest, like, do you know what? Like, we got diverted to Brisbane because Melbourne went into a short lockdown, like 4 days, 5 days. Mm. So we've ended up being diverted, quarantine in Brisbane, fly into Melbourne afterwards.
Right.
And we sort of got a bit of a touch in that because we've got a baby, they upgraded us and gave us two adjoining rooms.
Nice.
So we basically got an apartment And it's the way people are. Like we're sitting in a nice hotel, getting food brought to us,
right?
And right, okay. Yeah, so it's not, you know, it's not, we're not in prison. I think, you know, you see people on the news, like,
you're not fucking out.
Yeah. But have you seen them people on the news in the Heathrow ones when they're like, it's unbelievable, man. I've got to wash my pants in the sink. And it's like, yeah, but you're still in a hotel and you've got Netflix and you're getting food and stuff. You're not in
fucking, yeah. It's important to keep, you know, keep perspective. Has she got control of B wing then, or what? Do you run this wing that you're in?
You've got to be careful in the shower.
Yeah, we've actually decided to separate. We've got a separate flat.
If she puts sugar in boiling water, it's best to stay away from it because that can sting a little bit.
Just lick it in your face. just carry a little chiv made out of a toothbrush. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Daniel Scott? You're ready to go any minute.
You've already got your prison tat, so it's. I think is that some kind of gang affiliation? The mime artist gang affiliation.
What that?
Yeah. Is it Sanskrit? It's going to be some Sanskrit.
It's not Sanskrit. It's just normal English words.
And what does it say? I haven't seen any phrases. I don't know what it
says. Actually from, this is old. I've had this for years. It's from a hymn. It's from a hymn called When a Knight Won His Spurs.
Of course, in the stories of old. Yeah.
So it's a verse from that I've got on my arm. He did it
yesterday with a knife and some Indian ink. Biting down on a bit of leather.
I started self-inking.
You can have a little teardrop by the end of it.
Yeah, that's a bad sign, isn't it? Yeah, teardrop. Yeah, I've still got the kid, but I've been out with the wife, the solitary drop. are you going to be gigging in Australia then? What, Carl?
So basically, this was a bit of a happy accident, really, in that we were coming anyway. We were just like, the plan was to come out for a few months. There's nothing going on in the UK, and we wanted to spend time with Hannah's family.
Right.
And obviously, like, our daughter can meet her grandparents and stuff. That's the thing. We've basically done the first 8 months with no support in London because, you know, you can't see anyone. And my parents are just old and fucked, so they wouldn't be able to help anyway. Mm. So it's like, it was meant to, we were going to come out and spend some time so that actually we've got some help. And then, so it turns out we booked it, and then they announced that things were opening up here and there's comedy festival. So I've managed to now... I'm in the process of sort of, you know, getting my visa sorted, and I'm doing a little run at the comedy festival, and I've got a bunch of stuff lined up. So, yeah, ended up sort of being, because I've had messages from people going like, "Fucking hell, have you managed to go and do Melbourne Comedy Festival?" Like that was the plan or something.
Yeah.
And it was totally like, basically, they found out that I was coming to the country and said, "Would you be up for doing some stuff?"
Once they found out you're in the country, he was in Edinburgh. once you landed. Word gets around the media, drop everything. He's in, let's get him on.
The press are at the bottom of the walkway off the plane.
Absolutely. Good for you, mate. That's fantastic. The only problem is with marrying Australian women, and that my brother found this, is sooner or later you have to live in Australia. I mean, that might not be a problem, but first 7 years were fine, and then it was like my brother's wife got a little bit ill, and it was like, it just didn't make sense anymore. So you ended up in Australia.
Yeah.
That's something for you to do within your own.
I reckon up until the pandemic, I would have been not against
the hoax. Let's get it right, mate.
Up until the pandemic.
The plandemic.
Yeah.
The government takeover.
Until the great reset.
Yeah.
up until that point, we've talked about moving to Australia, and it's always been like maybe in like a decade or 15 years. I'd say I'd be more open to it in the nearer future, just because of the back of the last year, not just England as a, you know, it's our political class, it's how moany everyone is. The whole country is full of just, I've always sort of just not realise how moany we were until the last year. And it's been so tedious listening to people.
Oh, no, the moaning's been incredible, is it? But of course, it's very important to avoid the irony of moaning about people moaning. But
yes,
having said that, it's the lack of unity has been really demanding day one. Just the whole, the judgment on both sides, the fearmongers on one side, the denies on the other. It's been pretty tricky. But do you not think the Australian thing's a bit obviously they've done really well numbers wise, but they're a little bit, it feels like they're a little bit sort of PTSD kind of trigger, you know, something happens.
Shooting people dead or trying to get ashore on a boat.
We still panic buying. Do you know what I mean? They're still sort of like, they've got zero COVID. I was close to it, as you can imagine, but they're still living a slightly in.
Until Carl arrives.
Yeah, until I think Melbourne, they're a little bit, out of all the people I know a lot of Australians, the people from Melbourne are the ones who are most sensitive to it. Mm. You know, I think they're the ones, because I think their state is like, you know, it's obviously, I think they get, you know, they dealt with it probably the strictest. So they're the ones
that had lockdown, didn't they?
Yeah. So like they're the ones who've got a bit of PTSD. Whereas like people in sort of Western Australia don't give a shit. People in Perth and all that.
Good.
They're
good.
All pretty chilled.
Good.
So like good. I think it just depends on where you are in the country. Sydney sort of managed to navigate it pretty well the whole time, right, and be really chilled. Right. Everyone there doesn't really care.
Yeah.
So I think but even then, you know, it's still that nice thing of Melbourne. They might have done it quite strictly, but you know, they've been open for ages. I've spoke to mates and they're out for dinner with their friends and stuff. So it's just that.
I'm doing that.
Yeah. Breaking into restaurants.
not in restaurants, but I mean, I'm sort of like. I think that's the thing that I'm fascinated by, the difference between the noise and the reality of people's lives. So
the
noise about what people are doing and aren't doing. The reality is, if you know a couple of mates who had Corona a month ago, and you've had the vaccine and you had it, then you go around their house for dinner. I mean, you just go around their house for dinner, and that's happening all the time. Or no one's going on holiday, but my kid's going to Mexico next week with his girlfriend.
Wow,
you know, sort of. Do you know what I mean? The difference between what we've.
How can he get into Mexico or get out of England?
By signing up for some voluntary work.
Oh,
and
then not doing it when he gets there
on arrival.
Going straight to a water park on arrival.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's that thing of like a lot of people. Like I know a friend of a friend. Heard that I was going to Australia, and he said to my friend, like, how's that allowed? You're not allowed out of the country. And it's like, but people genuinely think you are genuinely not allowed out of the UK. Like, whereas that's, they can't leave. You literally, you can leave, you can book a flight, but you're meant to just have a valid reason.
Yeah,
they don't really check.
I want a holiday isn't a reason, I guess, is it?
I jokingly was going to say, well, if they said, what's your reason for leaving the UK? I was going to say all the cunts.
Yeah.
Straight through. There we go. Go through.
We understand, sir.
I'm meant to be doing a gig in Abu Dhabi in mid-March with old McIntyre doing an arena in Abu Dhabi. Do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah.
Do you think that will go on?
What, mid-March?
Hmm.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Abu Dhabi will be fine. They
but the UAE is on the red list, isn't it? It is on the red list of like countries when you come back and all that.
Might have to. Yeah, there might be some quarantine business.
But he's not going
to get 2 weeks at Heathrow Airport, mate.
Yeah, McIntyre. That's not going to swing for McIntyre. He's very motivated by hotels. The idea of him doing 2 weeks in a travel lodge would be a fantastic sitcom, but the reality would be mental within a minute.
Just think how much observational stuff he'd have about hotel rooms after.
It would be, I mean, even more than he has already. I mean, the micro observation going on in those 2 weeks
is so crazy. I do think people just, you know, obviously the news sort of hammers it home, like, you know, you're not allowed to leave the country, but there is so many ways around it. Like, I mean, obviously I had a valid reason. I literally had an exemption letter from the Australian government saying I'm essentially in Australia as a family of Australians. So but I do think, you know, it's easy. If you wanted to get out, you could find a valid reason easily.
I want a
suntan.
Yeah, but that's what makes people think
the news. Some cheap booze.
That's what makes people think the news is so absurd, though, isn't it? Or when the government says, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, you'll be able to meet one other mate in the park, and everyone's like, "I've been doing that constant." Do you know what I mean?
All my mates because of my tweets.
Yeah, we've been meeting in the park and rowing so much, and
calling them COVIDiots.
Lost all my ex sheeple mates.
So the social media, if anything was needed to prove us the total toxicity of social media, then the pandemic's just...
I know, it's intensified it. And if you stay off Twitter, like, it's better for your mental health. That's why I'm on it every day.
well, that's how we... Because I gave Julian a ring last week, because I was talking about the idiocy of people on Twitter now. They just don't get jokes or just irony.
Yeah.
So this was like at sort of 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And I said, you know, one thing I vowed not to do during the pandemic is ever be on social media between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You know, and I posted about 1 p.m. as a joke, because it's a joke. Yeah. 1 p.m. And so many people go, well, you've broken your rule then. Because
I know.
it's constant retardation. Yeah, it's really weird. People... quite dispiriting, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't, there's always going to be one person who just reads it and reacts before they've let it sink in, essentially.
But this was about 75% of people did that.
I mean, it's because there's so many contradictions happening in the world on Twitter at the moment. They just saw that as another one. It was just insane, isn't it?
Or do you think people are just, because they're being locked in a lot, the mental
lost
processes,
their humour.
The mental processes have slowed down a bit.
Yeah, I'd say so.
The early gigs are going to be really, really slow, aren't they? Really ponderous.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of divs that understand comedy.
So have you just sort of like floating observations that no one's got.
Just big general, just dancing. Really... like.
Basically my act anyway, but I'm going to have to refine it a little bit. Have you guys been working on your material during this palaver, the great palaver?
I have been writing every single day. I mean, I wouldn't say everything. I wouldn't say everything could be put out though. But definitely been trying. I've got some new stuff. About 3 minutes.
I've been writing. I did loads of Zoom gigs, so like, I was writing for those.
Right.
So I ended up compiling quite a lot of material. Obviously, it's sort of lucked out because now I'm doing a Melbourne show.
Yeah.
I've basically got a new show that I just need to put it into sort of some order. And
that's perfect. I vowed never to do a Zoom show at the start of this. And that's a policy that's only hurt myself in terms of income and gigs. I just made you think,
you can break the vow, though. I mean,
I know, but it feels like I've come
Someone's
so going to
call you out on it.
Yeah, totally. It just feels like I've come so far now. I'm sure the Zoom gigs can be great, but I struggle on a Zoom social, like early doors. And even a couple of weeks ago, we had like a Zoom chat with mates, good old mates. So they're really good mates. And I sort of have to leave the room after about 10 minutes. It's like, I'm going to start crying or something. It's like the sense of disconnection. I find I honestly find it so painful. You can't all talk at the same time and all that clever.
No. I prefer a Zoom gig, or I can do this, like one or two people.
Yeah, this is fine. Yeah.
But I've done some Zoom mate like quizzes and stuff, and actually the quizzes work because there's a purpose to it, and you're not all just having conversations.
There's more order to it, isn't there? I guess.
Yeah, but the ones where we've had just a catch up on Zoom with mates, I just find it crap. It's like, you know, it's like sitting in a pub, but you all have to sit 20 feet apart from each other. Like, so you're all, you can't all have like a real conversation.
Yeah, it's like a really bad version of Celebrity Squares or something, isn't it? It's like a really brain tortured. I had one the other week, and I just thought, it was all my mates, like mates I've known for like 25 years, really good mates. And I couldn't handle it. So I thought, I'll crash it. I'll just come in at the end. So I came in at the end when there was about four people and everyone's really pissed. And I managed to have a row within 5 minutes and shut it down. I basically quashed the Zoom thing. Before 5 minutes, he's just like, I don't know, I think I'm just
getting... What was the row about?
Yeah, what was it about?
It was vaccine related. And it was a
you
thing
were trying
about...
to sell a vaccine to him. <You'd> made.
I was, and to be fair, I haven't thought that much about vaccines beyond the kind of basic sort of northern stance of like, you know, I think you should try and be healthy and not need them kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit silly, really, about them. And I was...
End up with, like, bow legs from polio or whatever.
It's rickets.
Yeah. Bit of chicken pox every season, who cares? And I, of course, I don't know if you know, Carl, but I had the vaccine about a month ago.
Oh, nice. How did you... What was your... How did you get it? What was the fire?
It was really weird. I was approached out of the blue and given it purely because of my services to comedy. It was just really odd. They just because of my.
It's because of all those standing O's you got in not 2019.
because of my contribution, it's just one of those. Just a few people got it. You didn't get it. You didn't get the
contribution. Yeah, I got it twice.
I wasn't working. I volunteered to do some work in a hospital in town. So I was going to be on the COVID wards. And this was when it was real peak, like peak COVID, early January. And they said, it was my induction day. They said, you can have a vaccine if you want. And it just made sense because I'm going to be exposed to it. But I've had the perfect virtue signal because I got the vaccine. And then since then, the application took so long. I've had COVID and I haven't done anything yet. I actually had to do anything. It's perfect. But I meant to start tomorrow. I am starting tomorrow. By which time the fucking problem's virtually over. It's so torturous volunteering for that. I don't know if did you try and get any sort of other jobs or volunteer for anything remotely official? It was just
not at all.
I looked into it a little bit, but that's like not even a virtue signal because I looked into it. Like, that's not even nothing.
Volunteering.
And then I patted myself on the back for about 3 weeks thinking about it.
Absolutely. It's amazing that it even crossed your mind during the pandemic to help.
I mean, I'm just delighted. You know, I just think about others for about a minute. but you had the intention to do it. It wasn't your fault you didn't do it.
Well, I mean, I have done some volunteering.
You suddenly pulled a sickie.
I haven't. Yeah, I mean, it's been a because as you know, I'm both a devout and a comic Christian simultaneously. Initially, in the pandemic, I thought, of course, as you would, what would Jesus do?
He got pissed.
And I decided that what Jesus
he would died
do, to go down to a brothel.
I'm off, mate. I'm off. What Jesus would do is apply to his life. I thought all the actions in the supermarket. This was very early doors. I thought, let's apply it at a supermarket. So what Jesus did was apply at his local co-op. I got fucking knocked back. Couldn't even get a job at the local co-op. I just couldn't get a fucking job anywhere. I was applying at all these supermarkets. I think they thought they didn't want some chippy comic just fucking taking
the people. Do you know what also, I mean? You've not been in the, you know, I do think if you've not been in the workplace for however many years.
Yeah, totally.
Your application is all, you're just fucking, you think, I'll get this job. You don't hardly try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been quite humbling this pandemic to realise, you know, that you can't just walk into another job if you've just fancied for a laugh. Let's face it. I used to work as a supermarket when I was a kid, and it was only ever going to be for a laugh. Do you know what I mean? It's just just a good laugh. But not only that, but also the stand-up comedy in that obviously isn't that necessary. Because we've been all right. Do you know what I mean? It's like society hasn't collapsed because we haven't been able to do what we do. I mean, it's been less, of course, it's been lesser, and we've missed theatres, etc. But it's just been quite interesting to realise that, you know, that everyone rolls out.
Have you since you got the vaccine? Have you got any mates who are anti-vaxxers who have been on your case?
Not really, no. I've had a few people suggesting that I've infected myself and altered my DNA and all that kind of blab.
DNA can be altered with anything, can it?
I don't think it can.
I don't think you can change DNA.
No, unless you're like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly or something.
I mean, that works if you do that. You've got a teleporting machine.
to be honest, I didn't really. I mean, you had your vaccine the other day, didn't you? I didn't really do that much. Yeah. It seems bizarre, but I didn't actually do that much research on it. I just thought they're offering.
I mean, it's definitely not good for you, is it? Like to have, but it's. I just really wanted it, like, and so I fucking got it.
Yeah, I sort of felt the same. I mean, I thought I'm going to be in a high risk. I never have a flu vaccine. And I think if I haven't been at hospital pretending to volunteer,
Smoking a cigarette in the toilet.
I don't think I'd have had one, but I mean, given the chance, I just thought it just totally makes sense. You know?
But
this was what the round was about, because I was saying I don't know whether I'm going to have it in later years. I just don't know.
Right.
Are you going to have the second vaccine? Like,
yes, I am, because I'm I am going to be working in that environment. I'm starting tomorrow, so it is going to happen. Why not? But I've never forced.
I think I'm going to get the flu vaccine now as well. I don't know. I'm just going to fuck it. I may as well.
Going to vax it up just completely.
I'm just going to get all of them.
Julian's now addicted to vaccines.
Just booting up vaccines in a bog in Cardiff Street.
I'm into if you want to get
sucking dick for vaccines, anyways.
brief visual there, old school visual. That's when you get to the front of the queue for vaccines. Just
like, get him out of the queue, let's let him through. There's children covering their children's eyes.
But I'm of the kind of like, have a vaccine if you want to have a vaccine, if you don't sort of thing.
Exactly,
I think the majority of people
should
will
be mandatory.
Yeah, of course. And the majority of people will choose to have a vaccine.
Yeah.
And they've got protection then. And a very small minority won't want to. And that's fine. I don't think they should be denied access to.
But what do you reckon? I was watching the news here today, actually, and they were talking about Qantas have just announced they're probably going to be starting international flights in October.
Yeah.
But they reckon it's going to be, they won't allow anyone to fly who's not had a vaccine.
I think it's unfortunate. I think
they are allowed to do that, I guess, aren't they? Like as a business.
Totally.
As long as it's not racial discrimination or sex.
Yeah.
There will be legal challenges. And it'll be interesting because obviously uptake with vaccines in the BAME community has been less. So you might get race elements starting to come into play with that. But, and you've also got, in terms of this summer, kids won't be able to go on holiday if people bring that in. Do you know what I mean? And which means families won't be able to go on holiday with a vaccine passport. So I think they'll lose so much money that they'll just say a negative test. I totally get the whole thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's safe and stuff. But surely a negative test should be enough, surely.
Yeah. I mean, what Carl did was have a test there and then quarantine and
we had to get one to get a fit to fly certificate. But what's really interesting is we went to, there's one at Heathrow Airport. It's like a test you do and you get the results the next day.
Yeah.
We did it. And it was, it was the one right up your nostril, right in the back of the throat, that side swabbed around for a bit, the other side.
Yeah,
and it's fine, but it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Like, since we had one yesterday here in quarantine, and they said it's a PCR test. So I was like, all right, it's going to be the same. It was way less vigorous. They were really friendly. They came to the door and they all got their fucking welded masks on and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they just basically, they didn't go anywhere near as far up my nostril.
Staff were like, what vaccine, people?
But they didn't put it as far up my nostril or like they didn't swab around as much at the back of the throat as the one I did to get a fit to fly test, even though I'm in quarantine. You'd think they'd really go for it here, wouldn't you?
Did they make sexual passes on your wife? Because isn't that what mostly, isn't that how the vaccine's getting into Australia? Just people finding each other irresistible in a quarantine scenario.
Well, but I'm glad
in the hallway.
They apparently one of them in Melbourne, they had that outbreak because somebody snuck a nebulizer into their luggage. Right. So they were like blowing COVID out into the fucking hallway and stuff.
It's kind of once you sort of, there's something, I know this is a deeply unfashionable viewpoint, but there's something almost liberating about the UK and like people have sort of almost risked their life to have a drink with a mate and just accepted that it's in. You know, it's a mess. We've made a mess. It's here forever. I mean, when it opens up, I mean, my kids have been going to parties throughout last summer and stuff in terms of risk taking and stuff. But when it opens up, there's going to be an awful lot of people just going out and messing about and just going. I quite like that. There's something that I quite like about that. This
it shows you how important human interaction is. Actually,
well, also I do think
makes you value it a bit more, doesn't it?
It's a different beast, I think. I always find that when people go on about New Zealand, they're like, look how great New Zealand's done. They've had like one death or something. It's like, and they all then start going on about how great their prime minister is. And I always think when people say you can't compare them as countries because of the size and the location and all that, I actually think you can't compare it because of the people. Like,
yes, absolutely.
New Zealanders are so nice and
yeah.
rule abiding, and they're so conscientious to their fellow countrymen. Whereas Brits are fucking just feral. There is something about us that is like,
I mean,
and I say this as one.
Some aren't, is it? I mean, it's like you go to Waitrose during the pandemic at like 10:30 on a Sunday morning, everyone's in a mask, everyone's 2 metre distance, everyone's, you know, queuing to get. You go to Tesco Express at 10:30 on Sunday night, everyone's smashed, no one cares.
People are rolling around fighting outside.
But that's what I mean. Like,
everyone's snogging. Like
People in New Zealand would avoid getting pissed because they know that their standards would slip. Whereas Brits, we're always one beer away from spitting COVID on somebody for a laugh.
But I prefer that though. Yeah.
Yeah, there is something, don't get me wrong, there is something I agree.
I quite like breaking rules. I don't know. There's exciting about it.
We're not very good at about. We hate, especially comics as well. I mean, you know, I mean, comics have spent their lives avoiding being told what to do. It's just been really weird to observe the sort of there's no, sorry, we've got the cleaners coming in now. I've resisted cleaners for months and years and years. And my wife's, they're coming in today. It's crazy. She's got two doing today, hasn't she? I don't know. Two cleaners doing 2 hours work. I think it's 3 hours work. But
what's that, about a tenner an hour?
It's more than we can afford, Julian. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm just sad. I've got some marigolds, mate.
Exactly. I mean, it's a difference between tidying and cleaning, isn't it? Because blokes can tidy, but women like the sort of deep clean stuff.
Yeah, that's what I always say.
That's exactly like me. I'm a tidier. Yeah.
Yeah, I love a tidy.
Same here.
I love a pile. I can put piles all over the house and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can put things in parallel positions on desks.
Your bum there. I thought you sort of like, I love a pile.
Yeah. I'll show the cleaners.
Nice and itchy.
Show the cleaners piles upon arrival. In terms of like...
Is it quite a big house you're in, Paul? How many bedrooms? It looks lovely, like skylights.
Oh, no, we're lucky. We've got 5 bedrooms. Yeah, I live in a big house.
How many kids do you have? 2. Oh no, you've got.
We've got 3 kids.
Oh,
got
3 kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But only 2 of us at the moment, and one's away at university. Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's been so many different kinds of people in so many different professions. So when people talk about what the teachers are like, or what the nurses are like, or what the Brits are like, I think surely what this has told us is they're all different. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know really lazy teachers who've just been dodging work as much as possible to rinse.
People
have been like obsessed with getting their kids great Zoom classes. I know nurses who've been faking illness to avoid scrubs so they can get to the front of the queue at the supermarkets. And I know some who are absolute saints.
I do that.
It's just humanity. I can't wait for that with the NHS because they're going to give me scrubs.
Really?
Yeah. So
You're going to be wearing them all the time.
Doing a porter sort of job?
I'm going to be harassing nurses around the university.
Open heart surgery and slapping nurses' bum.
Be a surgeon.
Yeah, I'll have a go at that, mate. How are you feeling? A bit peaky? No.
I'll take a look at that.
I'm going to be probably not being much use actually, but I'm meant to be delivering meds to wards, because the idea is they're too busy to go down to the bottom of the hospital to get meds to bring them back up to the wards.
So you're working within the hospital, deliveries within the hospital, not from outside.
Within the hospital, takeaway from local India. So I'll hopefully be able to nick some meds and sell them to mates as well.
We've
all seen Nurse Jackie, so there's a bit of, you know.
Yeah.
Give me some morphine.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And a couple of paracetamol as well.
Yeah, just nicking his pockets, just jammed with with medication on them, whilst denying them to patients who need them, just desperately clawing at me.
They're going to die anyway, aren't they?
Of course, they're on the way out. And then after about 2 weeks, I imagine there'll be some kind of some claim about, you know, bad language, or do you know what I mean?
There'll be a few ventilators going on eBay soon.
I'll find myself on
the wrong range.
Yeah, I'll find myself on the wrong side of some kind of culture war argument before some kind of tribunal by early summer.
Be nice. Something to do a show about, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's lots to be look forward to. But yeah, it's my I really enjoyed this. Do you feel weird when you cough after you've had the vaccine? Like you,
mate. We got, in terms of coughing, we got off the flight in Brisbane, and we were in the queue to be like sort of shown which hotel we're going to quarantine, and you get basically put on a coach, and then you get checked in. Like you're basically chaperoned all the way by like police.
Yeah,
and
guns at your head,
Twyla. My daughter, she just had a coughing fit in the queue.
Coppers.
But she just, she hasn't coughed. Like she, you know, she just had a proper coughing fit. It, like, everyone around was looking over as we're queuing to like basically go into quarantine.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
brutal.
Yeah.
Like the timing was the worst.
What if her first words were "fuck the police"?
Fuck the police.
Yeah, fuck this COVID.
Yeah, pandemic. That was her first word.
Bill Gates. You want
Bill Gates is a pedo.
Pizza Gate. There'll be some behaviours that won't, that will be frowned upon post pandemic. Whether that you know, that you know, those sneezes that used to just splatter the rest of the tube.
Yeah.
I used to love doing them.
Yeah, the elbow sneeze. That's here to stay, isn't it? The elbow.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping handshakes and stuff will come back, and just various, because I quite like handshakes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, that's going to be the strange thing about getting to Melbourne and seeing friends and family is that just having a hug with somebody.
You've been in quarantine. You've had tests. You know, it's
oh, all... no, but I mean, I'm talking about the opposite. Like, we've not really sort of, I've not hugged anyone in, and that sounds weird. That sounds like it's a bigger thing than it actually is. But do you know what I mean? I do think I see where I give him a nice hug is going to be really.
You're just going to start kissing his neck and not letting go.
Nibbling
and dry humping him.
All right, Carl. All right, mate. Here
you go. Here you tiger. G'day, bruv.
All right, mate. Sticking back in quarantine, mate.
I quarantine my dick in your arsehole?
Well, I think you're right, Carl. And I think hugging's really important.
It is. I've been hugging people, isn't it? Like
I've been hugging people for hours, to be honest.
A 3-minute hug, I said. That's too long, isn't it? 3 minutes, man. The police have been called.
I think it's a bit governmental overreach to tell people not to hug, to be honest. I just think that's one of those areas that people... But they shouldn't be anywhere near.
It's weird. I didn't realise how much power the government... They can make handshaking illegal if they wanted to. It's weird, isn't it?
I don't know if it would pass any sort of legislation, but...
I think it's sort of... I just don't think they should be anywhere near that sort of...
No.
I mean, I think you should give advice, but that was one of my moments during this when old Matt Hancock said he wouldn't advise hugging anyone for the next few months or something. I just thought, I'm just not having that. I mean, obviously, yeah. I'm not gonna hug you if you don't want to be hugged. I'm not gonna run around the street hugging randoms and holding on. But like one of my mates' mum died or whatever, and I gave her a hug, you know,
after she died or before.
Yeah. And then my mate died 2 weeks late, but it was coincidental.
She didn't.
Unfortunately, died just to COVID related illness.
Because it's coincidental, because this is a plandemic. Everyone I've hugged has died, but I think they're getting assassinated.
Do you not think that the plandemic mob are going to look pretty stupid after this?
I think there's going to be loads of people.
Part of me wants them to get bad COVID, but then, I don't want anyone to get it. But like,
I know what you're saying.
What are they going to say when they're on a fucking ventilator? I definitely wouldn't want that. Obviously,
or even when the economy's back running and the government isn't obsessed with the idea of keeping us in prison throughout.
They think the government have got us now and it's like this forever. So once that stops and it gets back to normal, what can they say about it?
It's like that thing of that friend of a friend who literally was like, he didn't believe I was going to Australia. So he was like, you're not allowed to leave the country. It was like, me going to Australia disproved his belief that you physically are currently, that basically the UK is a prison state currently.
I proceed on the notion that all governments want to do really is win the next election.
100%. You know?
Totally, yeah. Absolutely.
And they win the next election by making everyone a bit richer and feel safer and have a 100%. Good laugh.
And a lot of sort of like lies go on to get them to that, but that's their goal. And it's not like
totally.
Yeah. It's, you know, like it's like all of the deaths within lockdown, like suicides are up, stuff, but the government won't necessarily get blamed for that. They'll get blamed for COVID deaths. So they're trying to minimize that more.
I think it's really hard to play this, the population of the UK, because we're so divided on every issue. So at all times, there's people who want a tougher lockdown. There's people who don't believe in lockdown.
Yeah.
People want masks, people who don't. It's just right down the middle, isn't it, constantly? So it's just pretty confusing for everyone, isn't it?
In a way, it's good that everyone's a bit different and there's so many different opinions. And
Totally.
And but a lot of them are in their own echo chambers. That's a bit of a problem, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah. But I try and resist an echo chamber, and I try and accept people want to be my mates on social media and debates and stuff, but all that means it just ends up really exhausting. It's like ingesting.
I know there's too much. There's too many moving parts.
Never engage on. That's my thing. Never ever. I never have an argument on Twitter. I won't even reply if somebody tries to start
good,
one.
Good,
just
good for you.
I just think it's such a I think it's such a pointless thing to do. You're literally having an argument with somebody who's not in the same room as you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Have an argument with somebody if they say something to you in public and you actually have a ding dong.
It's like being slowly strangled during the day, isn't it? Because you just know it's going to pop
very
up.
Very erotic, now,
And you just, Julia likes it. And it's exhausting. It's a massive time thief, isn't it?
And you're never going to win, and no one's ever going to concede an argument on Twitter.
No.
It's fruitless. It's like they're never going to go. They'll just log off, or you know, they'll like good they point, won't ever go. Okay, you were right. Thanks for opening my mind up.
Yeah. I often, if I occasionally do have rows with people, and I always end it quite placatory. I try and end it in a nice way. If people start swearing and calling me names,
death threat.
I just block them. I can't be arsed with that.
But
it's amazing how quickly it can escalate. I mean, I tweeted something. This was quite a while ago. This was pre-pandemic about Notre Dame burning down. It's a real shame what's happening in Notre Dame tonight or whatever. And within two tweets, I was branded an ethno-nationalist and people were contacting Runner's World to get my column from Runner's World. It's amazing how incendiary it can be.
I know.
You know what I mean?
You say
you understand Boris Johnson's got quite a difficult position at the moment, and then you're fucking Adolf Hitler within two tweets.
Yeah. You want to kill 6 million Jews suddenly. They can read between the lines of what
you're saying. Smother your own grandma. It's weird. It's bizarre. But
that's just a coincidence that you want, you know what I mean?
That's already done 7 years ago. Yeah. Done and dusted.
That's so 2016. Do you know what I mean? That's in the past.
Are we looking forward to gigs again then, or what? Are you guys looking forward to getting back out there?
I am actually, a lot more than I was lockdown one. I'm really looking forward to it. Just the social aspect, the just being out on stage. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm looking more forward to just some normal. It is in the context of normality. It's not just going out to do gigs. It is that thing of sitting on a tube and people not being tense into a gig and just like that. Yeah, again, there's not being. I don't care if the early gigs, there's still loads of rules. There's still going to be that little bit of tension to it, and it'll be nice to be doing them. But my thing I'm looking forward to is when everything is just normal. Do you know, like doing the first time you're at the store and it's a rammed Friday night,
and you're doing
two shows and you're just sitting backstage having a laugh and. That's the thing I miss.
I'm looking forward to that, but I'm also mindful of the fact that you can spend a lot of time in lockdown harking after a version of the past that was in itself slightly unsatisfying. I'm trying to look at things that I'm a bit older now, so I'd already, I love the store, of course, but I already reached a stage where I looked around on some late shows and thought, I'm just too old for this. Do you know what I mean? I'm too old for this environment. Yeah, and I'm older than you lot. So it's like, there's things I want to change.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I want to go about
going back. I want to kind of recalibrate a bit. Obviously, I'm writing loads of new material. And because if there's one thing more tragic than the whole COVID thing itself, it's returning back from it with the same set.
Same.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Absolute catastrophe.
And I'm trying not to write too much about, or like,
I don't think,
write about the current situation, because that's going to be gone soon.
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to, all of that. I had that the last one, like, I had about 7 minutes new that I opened.
Yeah.
And that slowly got dated.
Do you not still like? Do you not think it'd be mental though? Like, imagine the first. Imagine it's June and gig. Like, the first sort of weekend of gigs back when things are normal-ish. Like, I think like
you're gonna have to
imagine just watching. You've got to acknowledge it. I don't think you just walk on and be like, so. And then just start doing stuff about.
It didn't take long before acknowledging it became a bit boring though, because everyone was.
I think that was because you're hammering. I think too many people were hammering it too much. You know, I think just, but I think it's, I think if it looks like you're just going on and doing just stuff that is way beyond, like, way older than the pandemic, I think it will look a bit odd.
It's really weird, the whole pandemic thing, because on one part of it, everyone's had their own sort of like dark night of the soul with it, haven't they? Everyone's been like reduced to their essence and some sort of existential crisis with like mortality and what you're doing in your life. And comics are about to deal with who am I, if I'm not a comic, what am I? Do you know what I mean? Am I still a comic? To what extent does it define me? And there's part of you that wants it to emerge different and for it to have meant a lot, but maybe we'll find it hasn't actually meant that much. It's just a pain in the ass for a year. Fascinating to see how we navigate that.
You know? In hindsight, it won't be as big as it feels it is now in 5 years. We'll just kind of look back. Oh, do you remember that year? It won't be like the crazy 2020 we all experienced, I guess.
I reckon I learned from this whole experience.
It's precedented. Do you know what I mean?
In terms of, but in terms of like comedians, just then watching comedians, how they behaved online during it. Realised that I like being a comedian doesn't define me as much as it does a lot of comedians.
100%.
I feel like it's made me feel like a much more rounded person than a lot of comedians who I think struggled without being able to do comedy a lot more than I did.
I was quite happy initially
for the break.
Yeah.
Then when things opened up again a bit in the summer, that August through to like September, October, November bits where gigs were happening in London, you know, I was down Top Secret a lot, I was writing a lot, but it was nice to be doing it again.
Yeah.
Then the sort of December, January one, this one has just been boring, I think, the lockdown, but it's not been, at no point have I been climbing the walls, desperate to be back treading the boards, you know what I mean? It's just been...
I agree. I mean, I've always sort of considered myself on sort of like the normal end of the spectrum psychologically of what a stand-up is, you know, in terms of like, I've always put a lot of value in my family and mates outside the industry, etc. And so I haven't actually missed gigging that much. I've missed that creative connection. I'm constantly surprised by how pleasurable a great gig is, even after doing it for 30 years. I'm constantly thinking, I'm constantly in cars after a great gig thinking, wow, I'm really lucky to experience this, to have this, and that's, I've got to constantly be mindful of that. And also, I've realised that although I'm not like a lot of other comics, I do miss them. Even the comics who I don't see very much, I just miss being part of that collective family of but it's true though. Do you know? Because let's face it, I don't see you very much, but you feel like you can click and get on because you can't. There's something about comics that's unique to being comics. You realise that when you try and get a fucking job volunteering at the NHS and it takes time. you've got to give them your DBS and do like loads of online forms and all this bullshit. Because comics just rock up. They're a bit. One's an ex-criminal. One's a fucking pain in the ass. One's a, do you know? But it's there's something about it, isn't there? There's something about that.
100%.
It's quite magical, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm referring to as well. Yeah, just the camaraderie of it, the green rooms. It's all nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all part of it because as you get older, it doesn't actually make as much sense to do stand-up unless you can make loads and loads of money off it because it's constantly taking you away from people you love on a weekend when they're doing great things.
Yeah.
One of the things that this pandemic has taught us is how much it costs to do stand-up. and how little how little money you need to live an okay life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The travel and the food and stuff.
Yeah, like, looking back to those weekends when you're in bloody, I don't know, Birmingham doing the Glee, which is great. It's a great fun weekend. Yeah, but then you end up spending pretty much your entire fee in TK Maxx every day.
It's crazy.
Because you're just mooching around Birmingham.
It's just quite hard to sustain as a life all your life. Working for change, do you know what I mean? But that moment of performance is something that's very unique and something that very few people get. And we're very lucky to have it. And it is a talent. It's a talent. Some people, you know, some people aren't very funny and they can do stand-up, but some people are funny and they do stand-up. I include you two in that. You've got a talent and there's something about it that's, it's hard work, but all I'm saying is I do value it. But I don't miss the lifestyle very much. I'm not missing the lifestyle. No. Almost not at all, to be honest. I like going to bed early and getting up early and all.
Yeah, same.
I mean, you know. So what are we going to do? Just getting to put the gigs on earlier or what? I mean, what's going to happen?
So 6 p.m. start.
No, but you do these, you know, when you're not gigging, you know, when you sort of pandemic, I mean, you wake up, you have a nice breakfast, you do a bit of exercise, a bit of write, whatever. It just is a nice flow to the day, isn't it? When you're gigging, the gig's all there, isn't it? It's like a building dread, expectation, excitement, whatever you want to call it. Then you have this spike, this sort of, and the 10, 15 seconds before you go on, this gradual morphing into someone else. That walk always fascinates me, from being announced to being on stage. What happens in that walk?
And then
you're in a totally different reality. And it's amazing.
Do you have any kind of rituals or anything that you do, like to get you centered before you go on or anything?
I mean, they're varied throughout my performing life, really. Now I just try to just relax as much as possible, really. But I don't really have rituals as such. Do you have rituals? Do you have little sort of NLP things or whatever?
I have done over the years. I remember I used to have to eat two bananas. But I stopped doing that. But I eat them like ice cream, slowly, not really. But like,
you just eat them whole.
I definitely get into a kind of a place just a few seconds before. Although sometimes I don't, and I've had great gigs where I've just having a laugh in the green room, and then just as having a conversation as you're walking to the stage.
Oh yeah, you can get that as well. It's all about relaxation. Yeah,
it's all different.
I mean, sometimes with gigs, there's a bit like, sometimes I almost resent having to do them, you know, if it's just really late and they're all pissed and it's but that's the thing that's hard as you get older, and because I've never really worked hard enough or have the drive to establish myself as a touring comic, I'm still essentially, I'm a club comic, and I tour with McIntyre, and that's lovely, that's a sort of different thing, really, but to be like my age on the clubs, you can feel a bit silly sometimes. It's like you're in Liverpool and there's a local lad on and he's 24 and he's doing loads of local stuff and they're all pissing themselves and they're all really drunk. And I'm there probably twice as old as most people who were there at the club. And I can do it. I can do that. But it can feel a bit silly sometimes.
I know what you mean. I mean, when does it stop? Like,
the context feels silly. I'm in a silly situation. I'm like the entertaining uncle at the tea party.
Come to look for your kid who hasn't returned your text.
It's weird. As you navigate as you get older, especially as I'm on the slightly silly end of what a comic is as well, you know? I suppose what we talk about is getting older as a stand-up and how to do that. And I'm aware that, although, you know, nothing much has changed over this last year because no gigs have happened, the seasons have changed and we've got older. I'm now a year older. And it's going to be an explosion of youth who are going to come into the clubs, I'd imagine, at least initially. And it's going to be interesting, you know. It's going to be interesting to navigate. Yeah. So if you've got any jokes, you know, to help me with that. Carl's good at that. You're good at that stuff, aren't you?
What stuff?
You know, all the scat stuff, all the improvisation stuff.
You've always said that to me.
I used to call Carl Scatman. You know, do you remember? I'm the Scatman. Did you remember the song? And it basically, you provide a very, I saw you at the store probably about half a year before lockdown happened. We did a weekend together and I hadn't seen you for ages. And it's interesting, those environments, because I don't really see you as a store comic, which is not to say that you're not good enough to play the store.
But just, was an open mic comic.
I think he was more of a kind of festival.
A driver.
Kind of a festival mime.
Sort of a mirth control.
Yes, and I see he was more of a quarantine guy. But you were great in that environment. You were great, and you were great while being gentle in that environment as well, because comics are really... Yeah. Because we're really contexts, aren't we? Comedians create a context within which things happen.
And you might
want to dominate that context or not. Or what? We all work.
Like some comics are going to war when they're on stage.
Well, that's absolutely. But I think that is definitely. I think a lot of comics do that at the store because of its history and it's a big imposing room. A lot of comics, I think, go out and try and sort of basically get their dick out and say like,
win it.
Whereas actually. I love playing the store because I like the fact that I feel comfortable enough there weirdly to do it on my own terms.
If I got my dick out, it would be more of a sort of pity move. But, I mean,
just get gonged off.
It might work in the long term, but as a short term kind of, I don't think it would increase levels of respect. Still need to think about. No, but you
respect that, man.
No, but it's. It's nice that you can do that, though. And it was interesting for me to watch, actually, because I like to be soft and physical, but I can be a bit dominating. Because when I came through doing the clubs, a lot of it was like all the jonglers pissed rooms. Yeah. And you learned
like a harsher environment that you had to kind of
a little bit
quickly own.
So you had to be dynamic and you had to show me as boss and all that kind of palaver. And I worked out how to do that really well. I'm grateful for that. But it's just nice to, because I think audiences like, they obviously like different tones. It's like music, isn't it? They like a different fucking record.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me, you know. New material, gigs, let's bring it out there. I mean, you know.
Let's do it. We should probably wrap it up rather than keep you for too long in your kitchen.
It's been a pleasure and good looking quarantine.
It's been really fun. Yeah, cheers. I think it's all right. We were almost a week in. It's flown by so far.
Got your exercise bike behind you. That's nice.
Yeah,
Have you been using it?
I've been
using it every day. I do a little sort of high intensity workout and then jump on the bike.
Take it to the park.
Nice.
I mean, it's definitely for 2 weeks it will get used. If I owned one of them, it'd be a fucking clothes horse within a month, innit?
And how old is your kid, Cal?
She is 8.5 months.
Wow.
She's loving. I mean, it's that thing where, because we've got nothing we can do. Like, it just means we sit around playing with her all day. And you can feel her developing.
It's lovely in a way, man. Like, that's such a good thing that you're spending that much time. Like, most dads...
What else have been the
I got a week off paternity and when they were born and it was like, it's not enough.
Yeah.
And you're out for like 12 hours a day working.
That's been a real
benefit.
You'll have a right laugh for that. All right, then, mate. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Namaste.
So, people can find you online if they want an argument during the day.
They want some.
Absolutely. I'm on Twitter at Paul Tonkinson, but I always end rounds on a good. I always end them friendly. I'm disturbingly. Centrist and reasonable ultimately. Unless I'm drunk and watching football and then it just gets quickly.
People are getting threatened, mate.
Yeah, quickly. I'm on Instagram but I never
knife
do anything.
Emoji.
Yeah. As I said, I'm on Instagram but I never do anything. Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
Yeah.
You're on it. That's all that matters.
Right, okay. So I'm steadily building. And of course the running commentary podcast as well. If people like to run.
You do that with Deering.
I'll do that with comedian Rob Deering. Yeah, and we go for a run every week. We have got once a week for 5 years, and we record it. And sometimes we get guests in, but that's been harder during the pandemic, obviously. And it's
the guests would run by your side, would they?
Yeah, the guests would run with us. Yeah.
Wow.
Because it came from, we used to go running together. And when you go.
Come on, if it's a 3-minute podcast.
Yeah, quick one.
Come on for the intro.
Originally, because when you run, if you get sort of fit enough, after about 35, 40 minutes, the chat gets better because your head relaxes and the endorphins and you're in nature.
Yeah. You can't overthink, can you? I guess. Like.
But it must be very guest dependent. Like, you must have had some guests that just couldn't really. go with it. No, you know, you must have, you know, you do it at their pace, I presume.
Yeah, yeah, we get guests who can run. We don't just fucking mic them up and sprint.
Because you are an incredible runner, aren't you? Like,
I'm okay. I'm not as good as I was at the start.
I mean, you're probably, yeah, compared to comics, at least, like, you must.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm fairly.
Like an Olympian.
I wrote that book about attempting to beat 3 hours for the marathon, which
did
I did.
Wait, you did do that, yeah?
I did, yeah.
Whoa, what were you driving?
So that was, but I'm nowhere near that now. I mean, I put on about a stone during the pandemic and I found it hard not to. I just found it really hard to keep my weight down. I run four or five times a week.
So how far do you run on a typical jog?
I'll run between 6 and 7 miles, just, you know, four times a week. Sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. But I love running through woods, through nature. I really enjoy it. That's been another aspect of this pandemic, fear of the runner. Fear of the runner. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely crazy, you know. I've had people pointing sticks and stuff and just shouting at me when I'm just running through the woods. It's crazy. I've been naked, so what? Listen, we're enjoying ourselves.
And it's been nighttime and they're all
right. Yeah, totally, yeah.
But running towards them.
Yeah, running towards them, screaming. I've got COVID. It's funny.
COVID and a boner.
I put a mask on my cock. What do you reckon? It's funny how it doesn't relax people when you tell them you had COVID 2 weeks ago, doesn't it? People are still pretty stressed out about that.
Two weeks might not be enough time for it to be out of your...
I actually had it about a month ago, and I've been very, very lucky, actually. Very lucky to recover from it. So it's good.
Realised you were joking about the 2 weeks thing. That's what I mean. Like, I'm like, no, Paul, it takes longer than... all right.
No, but you're right, it does. But I had COVID about a month and a bit ago. And I was really lucky because I got it a week after the vaccines. And I had really mild symptoms. My wife and daughter had it a lot worse. And that made me a bit more pro-vax as well. I don't know if it's coincidence.
You're walking around gloating.
Well, I was just, it's a pain in the ass looking after people, isn't it? As I'm shortly going to written.
Yes, definitely.
As you volunteer to look after people. This is a right pain in the arse.
Who's that bloke full of resentment? She was on telly in the early 90s. Remember him from Raw Soup? He keeps pressing himself against me in the lifts. The punch on it is we got through it and it was fine, but it made me more pro-vax. That's the message.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Get your vaxes. Or don't.
There we go. That's the message to end on. It's been really fun. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks for coming on.
And yeah, people check out your book, your podcast, and your social media.
And Instagram.
Obviously, only if they want to. It's not a requirement.
There's going to be no edicts. Oh, it's not part of Boris's roadmap.
The roadmap out of this is following Tonkin.
rowing with him about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on Twitter.
All right, mate. Good to see you.
That was good fun, man. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And
thanks to listeners. Thanks to our patrons.
Go follow us on Patreon. Cole's going to be doing his Edinburgh preview soon.
I'm doing a preview of my Melbourne Comedy Festival show. 11 a.m. Sunday
on Patreon.
For patrons. So, yes, that's it.
Sign up for listening. Watch.
Bye.
Bye.
We
actually
changed the podcast.
I think you died of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right, bro.